of something that became law on January the 8th of this year, 2022, and that's why we are going to preach on this today. Let me share this with you, this letter, and then we will dive into God's Word. You probably know very well the attacks that are being put on marriage. You probably know very well the attacks that are being put on the identity, the sexual identity of male and female. And so with this, we are going to look at God's proper plan. And I hope that the Lord's Word will convict your heart this morning. This letter was from Dr. MacArthur, and it came from a pastor in Canada. But this is Dr. MacArthur first, then it will go into the letter from the pastor. He says, "I write to you this Christmas season to call attention to an urgent matter in which the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. On December the 22nd, I received an email from Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church of Edmonton in Alberta, Canada. And you will remember he was recently in prison for keeping his church open during COVID-19 lockdowns. James is a graduate of the Master's Seminary and co-author of an excellent new book coming out in March of 2022, God and Government. James' recent email gave me insight into the Canadian government's decision to pass Bill C-4, which directly comes against parents and counselors who would seek to offer biblical counsel with respect to sexual immorality and gender. James indicates that it could be used to criminalize evangelism. Pastor John, thank you so much for your willingness not only to shine a light on the situation here in Canada, but also your partnership in calling other men to preach on biblical sexuality on January 16th. I and we are truly grateful for your ministry and service. Bill C-4 passed through the House and the Senate without opposition. Not a single dissenting vote was cast by any member of the Conservative Party. It received royal assent on December 8th, which means it came into law on January 8th of 2022. The bill will amend the criminal code in Canada to ban conversion therapy. It will criminalize, among other things, causing another person to undergo conversion therapy, promoting or advertising conversion therapy. In the preamble of the bill, it says that the belief that heterosexuality, cisgender, gender identity, and gender expression that conforms to the sex assigned to a person at birth are to be preferred over other sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions is a myth. So according to Canadian law, as of January 8, 2022, the belief in God's design for marriage and sexuality is now considered to be a myth. The bill defines conversion therapy as a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual, change a person's gender identity to cisgender, change a person's gender expression so that it conforms to the sex assigned to the person at birth, repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior, repress a person's non-cisgender gender identity, or repress or reduce a person's gender expression that does not conform to the sex assigned to the person at birth. The definition is intentionally broad, and it can clearly be used against any preacher or elder who speaks against homosexuality or transgenderism, or who counsels a person to obey Christ and abandon their homosexual transgender lifestyle. This means, as of January 8, 2022, it will be against the law to preach, teach, or counsel regarding God's design for marriage and sexuality. On January the 16th, faithful men across this country and Canada and many in the United States will be preaching on God's design for marriage. We will be doing so illegally, declaring to the state that there is one God and one Lord over His church, and that Christ alone gets to define marriage and dictate what is required in the pulpit. We're honored that our American brothers will be joining us in this. This is Andrew DiBartolo, teaching pastor at Encounter Church. Dr. MacArthur says, I'm eager to support our Canadian brothers and to preach on the biblical view of sexual morality on January the 16th, and I invite you as a faithful pastor to do the same. Our united stand will put the Canadian and U.S. governments on notice that they've attacked the Word of God. We are all well aware of the evil power and destructive influence of the homosexual and transgender ideology. Our government is bent on not only normalizing this perversion, but also legalizing it, and furthermore criminalizing opposition to it. In 2012, California passed Senate Bill 1172 banning gay conversion. This was done in New York State, New Jersey, and Nevada. In doing this, the California government sought to prohibit any correction of the unbiblical view of sexual identity. California has a compelling interest to protect lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals. On August 18th of 2020, the Democratic Party declared at the National Convention that it would ban harmful conversion therapy practices. The Obama administration appointed more than 250 lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer people to serve in their government. The Biden administration has promised to increase this number, and they have done so thus far. As aggressive as this political priority is to make perversion safe from criticism in the U.S., Canada has taken it a step further. On November the 29th of 2021, the House of Commons passed Bill C-4 with a completely unanimous vote, amending the code to include conversion therapy. Since this law takes effect on January the 8th of 2022, faithful Canadian pastors are going to preach on this issue, calling for a biblical understanding of sexual sin. The eternal judgment that falls on the unrepentant and gospel-rejecting sinners, and the grace of God and the gospel which offers forgiveness to those who repent and believe in Christ. All sinners need conversion, but the list focused specifically on the sexually immoral, adulterers, effeminate, and homosexuals who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Our calling as gospel ministers is to preach the truth, confront sin, and call all men to repentance and obedience to the gospel, the good news that achieves soul conversion and saves sinners from eternal wrath. Dr. MacArthur says, will you stand with me and our Canadian brothers and confront in a spirit of love and mercy the damning sins legalized in our culture? Will you join the nationwide effort to preach on biblical marriage on January the 16th, 2022, and proclaim the gospel of salvation that is now criminalized? If we all stand strong in this conviction together, the governmental forces of evil will be put on notice that divine love and sovereign grace compel us to be faithful to proclaim radical transformation at any cost. This world system and its human government will gladly send people to hell. But our calling is to rescue people with the truth. Will you join with us and stand in honor of God's word today and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 22 and we'll go to verse 25. God has a standard for what He has created. When I was in Reggie Day's health class, Reggie Day was my coach, he was my teacher, he was my mentor, he was the leading elder at my ordination service. I think a lot of Reggie Day. Reggie Day said in 1992 in a health class at Mineola High School that Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. If you were to say that today, you'd be fired. And this is how far we've gone, guys. So my prayer is here today, you've come up here on Sunday morning in the midst of a pandemic of COVID because you believe the Word of God. And as you believe the Word of God, you believe what God has stated in His Word. So let's see what God has stated in His Word in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And let's look at verse 22 and we'll go to verse 25. Says here, then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, He made into a woman, and He brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Heavenly Father, we lift up our Canadian brothers to you this morning that are preaching the truth. Lord, I pray that you give them boldness. I pray that you give them courage. Lord, I pray that you give them the power of your Holy Spirit to impart truth to the people in their congregations, to the people of Canada, that we're not going to take this anymore. We are sick and tired of being dictated by godless heathens to redefine what you have made clear in Scripture. Lord, I pray for pastors across this land today that they preach with conviction, that they preach with an unction under the Holy Spirit to tell what the truth is. And Lord, we're thankful for the truth this morning, because your word says that the truth shall set us free. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Lord, I pray that if there's people here that are being indoctrinated with false information, Lord, that today they will rely on your Scripture and your Scripture alone. Lord, I pray for my people here today that are hurting through sickness and COVID. Lord, for people today that are grieving, for people today that are just going through things on this old earth that nobody understands. But Lord, we're thankful that you understand. And Lord, we're thankful that you heal. And Lord, there's living proof of that in this place today. And we just want to praise you for that. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. And Lord, thank you for your word, that your word is truth, and that your word endures for all eternity. Lord, bless our hearts this morning. Convict our hearts this morning. If there's someone here lost this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit bring them unto your fold. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, marriage is a covenant made by God. And as marriage is a covenant made by God, you and I, as born-again believers this morning, have to make a stand by what we believe in. So, we're not here to hurt feelings today. We're here to allow the Holy Spirit to convict today. And so, as we stay true to the Word of God, there may be some segments of our population in our church today, there may be some segments of our population that's listening online today, be offended by this sermon. I would pray that you not be offended by what the Word of God says, but that you research it for yourself. You study to show yourself approved. There is a biblical worldview, and then there is a humanistic worldview. The humanistic worldview has dominated our society. So where the biblical worldview has been pushed to the back burner. And as the biblical worldview has been pushed to the back burner, you and I who stand for the biblical worldview are considered to be racist. We're considered to be bigots. We're considered to not be tolerant. And so therefore, in Canada, if you were to preach this message today, our preachers in Canada could be arrested before the day is out, and they could be in prison for up to 5 years. Absolutely ridiculous. And you say, well, that's in Canada. Folks, it's coming to our country as quick as we can blink our eyes. We have a godless administration that hates the very standard of the Word of God.
We have a godless administration that hates the very standard of the definition of biblical marriage. We have an administration who has a transgender assistant health secretary that tries to tell you and me what to do when she doesn't even know if she is a man or a woman. That is why I do not trust them when they say take a vaccine. That is why I don't trust them when they say to do all these things that they say to do. Can I enlighten us here this morning at New Hope Baptist Church and Facebook Live that the government does not have your best interest in heart? The Lord does. Amen. And so, as we look at this today, my prayer is the Holy Spirit churns in us a conviction like no other. That God has created marriage in an ordained covenant that He has created to be absolutely in line with Him. Look at this order that He created. Many of you that have been in our courageous class, Brother Steve has done a great job through our study of marriage. Many of you have seen the videos by Dr. Tony Evans, and I'll refer to him some throughout the message. But what I want to share with you today is that when God sets in order, He sets in order where it is stable. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, there is an order. When you look at the family, we got families today that are run by the kids. And that's not how families were intended to be ran. We got families today that are ran by the women. I know it'd get quiet on that. And that's not how God intended for families to be ran. God set an order in the family where it is a husband, a wife, and the kids. And we're going to talk about this incredible design that God had for marriage that has brought us to where we're at today. You're going to walk out of here today and you're going to be able to say, I stand for biblical truth in marriage. Or you're going to walk out of here today still cold-hearted, still with questions, still saying, well, I think it's okay if two gay people want to get married. Not according to God's Word. And so let's look at it this morning. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. There is a systematic order in marriage. Then he gets to this place where he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. Leave. The way that this order was set up is that the son would stay with father and mother, and usually in this agrarian society would work for father, would live with father, but now that that woman comes along, it's time to leave mama and daddy. Okay? And so when there is this process of leaving mama and daddy, what do we have so many problems in our marriages today? Is because we still have men and women, husbands and wives, that hadn't left mama and daddy. Every time they get in a fight, they go to mama and daddy's house. Every time that they get in turmoil, they got to call mama and daddy. And so there is not this leaving, if you will, for mama and daddy. It says the man needs to make that break. It says, number two, when you think about this today, that when there's leaving this father and mother, that there be a joining to his wife. A joining to this wife. The Hebrew word means a sense of completeness when it comes to glue. Can you think about that for a second? Y'all know what glue does. That's what the marriage should look like for the man and the woman, that you are glued to each other. This word is a deep word that means a covenant sense in a union that is everlasting. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. So I want you to think about that. Covenant is found over 300 times in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it's found 280 times, which refers to God's marriage to Israel. In the New Testament, it's found over 20 times when it refers to Christ's marriage to the church. And when we think about covenant, we get the Latin word testament. Old Testament, Old Covenant. New Testament, New Covenant. A covenant is something that is important when it comes between man and woman when we talk about marriage here today. So when we talk about this joining together, this sense of covenant, we talk about this joining of a husband
and a wife. A man and a wife. The writer of the book of Genesis says, they shall become one flesh. One flesh. You guys can grin on that. That means sexual unity. Now, I want you to look at the parameters that God has given us here. Okay? Number one, when one man, I don't think y'all heard me, when one man and one woman are married under God's covenant, He has ordained for them to become one flesh, and when they become one flesh in this sexual union, watch this, you will be blessed. Sexual unity in the covenant of marriage is blessed by God because it is a gift from God. Boy, now I'm going to start preaching. When you get out of sexual unity, out of the covenant of God, that sexual gift that He's given us now becomes not a blessing, it becomes a curse. It becomes a curse. So when you have people that are living together and not married and they're having sex, that is a curse, not a blessing. When you have people that are just dating and they're all going all over the place and they're having sex here and having sex there and having sex with whoever under the sun and saying, you know what, it's okay because it feels so good. Let me tell you something today. It is a curse. It's amazing to me how many people, even in our own community, have these crazy open marriages. And these open marriages to allow people to do whatever they want to do. Just absolutely crazy. And you wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. Okay? So we need to define the biblical definition of marriage. Number one, that it's a one man, one woman, under the covenant of marriage. And when they become one flesh in sexual unity, watch this, God will bless them. And He usually does this through be fruitful and multiply the earth. Jacqueline and I have done a good job of that. So let me share this with you today. There are many couples that I love that were not able to have kids. And God blessed their marriage immensely. There's been people that have not gotten married for whatever reason. And God has blessed them immensely. But He told Noah, He says, when you have this covenant of marriage and the wife and the husband become of one flesh, there is going to be this blessing that occurs and it's going to be called children. And in this blessing, Jacqueline and I, for a number of years, we got scared that we were not going to be able to have kids. And Jacqueline and I went through the joy of learning that she was pregnant and the heartache of knowing that two of our kids are in heaven, of not being able to see them because of miscarriage. And Jacqueline and I had to go through a trying time. We talked about in our Sunday school class this morning when we were dating and when you first get married, oh, it's just gaga and you're just so... I'm going to tell you what, the longer we've been married, the sweeter it has been. And in this process of seeing this, God just blessed us with Brooke, just blessed us with Caitlin. We wanted to stop there, but He had bigger and better plans. He blessed us with Abigail. And then He blessed us with Macy. And I didn't know what we was going to do. But He just kept blessing. I pray that He stopped on that. But in that process, He ordained one man, one wife, one woman to be joined together as husband and wife. And in that becoming one flesh, I am going to bless you with a generation that is going to pass the torch on what you have given to them. Thank God for our children. Homosexual relationships. And notice I will not call it marriage. Homosexual relationships cannot produce children. It is not of God.
When you look at this through Scripture, you have to realize the biblical relationship of a man and a woman under the covenant of marriage is so that you can be fruitful and multiply the earth. And in this, what happened? It says they were both naked, Adam and Eve. Now, yeah, that literally means what it means. Adam and Eve standing out there in all their glory. And they had no sin, so they were not ashamed. Adam and Eve was there, both the man and the wife. They were naked, and they were not ashamed. This is a beautiful picture, church, of marriage. It's a beautiful picture in this because it shows, number one, that Adam and Eve were at ease with one another. The longer we've been married, the more at ease I am with Jacqueline. Just the oneness that we have with one another. The second thing would be this. Not only that, but there is no fear of each other. There's no fear of each other. A husband should not be afraid of their wife. A wife should not be afraid of their husband. If there's any of you men in here today beating on your wife, shame on you. I hope the Holy Spirit convicts you. Any of you women in here beating on your man, I hope the Holy Spirit convicts you. And you laugh about that. We had a couple in our church. I went to camp one time, and they got in a, I'm talking about a doggone brawl on the back porch of a cabin. And she whooped him so bad, I thought, my goodness, what am I going to do? And I'm thinking about this. There's folks, you wouldn't believe this, but it happens all the time. So my prayer is there's no fear in your marriage. The third thing, when you look at that about they were naked, they were not ashamed, is there is complete trust. Complete trust. If Jacqueline tells me something, I trust her with all my heart. There is that complete trust that if she says, Michael, this is the best, this is what we need to do, with all my heart, I trust her. And then when you look at that, they were both naked, the man, the wife, and they were not ashamed. They were in complete love. And we're going to talk about that love with one another. Boy, we throw that word around a lot, don't we? I love a number one at Whataburger. I love my dog. I love this. I love that. We throw that word a lot, but listen to me, guys. There is a deep meaning to this word love that we really need to expound upon this morning. So can we do that? I want you right now to leave Genesis and I want you to go to the book of Ephesians. We've been on that, and I apologize for our courageous class, but we've really been on this book in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to look at verses 22. We could go to all the way to verse 33 today, but we don't have time. So I'll let you read that for yourself. But I want to share this with you today because I think it's important. So, let's talk about this. There are some great marriage counselors out there. There's some great biblical marriage counselors out there. We had one of them speak at our marriage seminar here at our church, Dr. Brumley from Green Acres LifeWorks. There's some great marriage counselors. If you need marriage counseling, they're out there. I would encourage all of you to never go to marriage counselors that are secular, to always go to marriage counselors that are biblical. And when you go to biblical marriage counselors, you're going to get biblical training when it comes to helping your marriage. So when we look at this today, I'm not qualified to be a counselor. I'm not. Listen, you can ask Jacqueline. Why in the world are they coming to you to help them with their marriage? I got enough to do on my own. Amen? So I want y'all to listen to me on this, guys. Paul says that there's two things that are always the root of the problem when it comes to marital problems. One is submission, and two is love. So if we can leave each other with this morning to try to help our marriages get stronger, let's do that, okay? But Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, and he said, if you really love one another, if you really care about one another, you're going to submit to each other. You're going to have this joyful attitude of submitting to one another in the Lord. And he really puts the emphasis here, ladies, I'm sorry, on the wives. I want you to look here in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now you could preach on that verse forever, but I just want to give you some insight in this today. Wives, notice there in the Greek, he's talking about females. Can I get a witness today? He says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. There's ladies that would jump through hoops whatever their male boss tells them to do. But they won't even help their husband at home with anything. There's ladies that will do whatever other men tell them to do. If their doctor says do it, yes sir. But husband can say, put that cigarette out, you're going to kill yourself. You shut up. Boy, I hear this stuff all the time. And then the doctor says, hey, you need to quit smoking. You're going, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. You know? There are ladies that will listen to every man under the sun. I'm talking about on TV. I'm talking about on TikTok. I'm talking about on everything out there under the sun. They'll listen to those men. But when their husband says something, they are a complete idiot and buffoon. And our culture has normalized that. I hate watching TV. I like watching Go Bills. I like watching things that I like to watch, but I don't like watching all that junk that gets put out there, those sitcoms. Because what do they do to the man? They make the man look like an idiot and a buffoon. You can't even watch Peppa Pig without Daddy Pig looking like an idiot. And my kids watch that and they see that. And over in time again, they make these men. You know, when I was growing up, what? We'd watch Charles Bronson. Can I get an amen? We'd watch Clint Eastwood. We'd watch John Wayne. These guys, Chuck Norris, they were men's men. Now when you watch those kind of movies, the women are in the lead roles now. They're the ones that are the action kickers and all that, right? It's absolutely crazy how times have changed. But what is Hollywood and what has our government done? They squandered the role of man. They squandered the role of man. Wives, listen to this. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Let's talk about that for a second. Dr. Tony Evans did a marriage seminar at Green Acres Baptist Church a couple of years ago. Jacqueline and I went. And Tony Evans said this about wives submitting to their husband. When you have a wife that is submitting to her husband, and you have a wife that is praying for her husband, when you have a wife that is behind her husband 100%, when you have a wife that is supporting her husband with every goal that he is bringing forth before the family, when you have a wife that is patting that husband on the back instead of chewing out his behind, when you have a wife that is submitting to her husband, Tony Evans said it just like this. He said, it's like you have the football and you are about to run for a touchdown, and your wife is over there as the cheerleader cheering you on. And what do you want to do? You want to run straight through whatever's in front of you, straight to that end zone. Can I get a witness today? When I go to Jacqueline, I give her some harebrained scheme that I've come up with. Hey, honey, will you pray with me about this on this job? Hey, I'm thinking about this, Jacqueline. And she says, hey, you can do it. I support you. I know you can do it. You know what? That wall right there can't hold me when she tells me those things. When she's being that submissive, when she's being that encouraging, when she's being that wife that God's called her to be, does she do it because of who Michael Myers is? Let me tell you who I am. Unworthy, sinner, wretch, only standing before you today because I've been saved by His grace. She supports me. She's submissive. She don't do it because of who Michael Mize is. She does it because of who her Lord Jesus Christ is. Notice it says there, submit to your own husbands as to Michael? No. As to whatever your name is? No. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You do this, ladies, so that He is the one that gets glory in your marriage. And when He gets glory in their marriage, oh boy, when He gets glory in your marriage, there is not anything going to come between you two that can separate you two, because what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Praise God that He loves marriages. And so when we look at this today, I'm going to encourage you, ladies, to submit to your own husbands. Now, guys, we got a lot of work to do. I want you to go down there to verse 25. Husbands, be the man that God has created us to be. Husbands, He says, love your wives. Love your wives. Boy, I can do a better job of that. Men, can I get a witness? Right? Sometimes don't we wake up in some bad moods? Sometimes don't we just say, well, I'm not, you know. We get in the griping and complaining and belly aching stages of our life. He says, love your wives. Love your wives. That word is a neat word. It's the agape word. The agape word in the Greek means it's an unreserved love. It's an unconditional love. It's a sacrificial love. It is a self-denying love for the benefit of your wife. It is a love that is constant. It's a love that is enduring. It's a love that's hearty. Guys, listen to me. It is a love not based on feelings or emotions. It is a love based on decisions. Decisions. Love your wife. Husbands, that agape love that we need to show to our wife is so crucial. Why do we show this crucial self-sacrificing love, this unconditional love to our wife? Why do we do this? Because Paul tells us that's how Christ loved you. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And what did He do? He gave Himself for her. Marriage is not just about the selfishness of two people coming together. Because if it is, your marriage is going to be a train wreck. Marriage is about a man and a woman in Christ coming together in one flesh so that He gets the glory, not the husband and the wife. Now, I've done a lot of marriages. And I've told people, Brother Michael, will you perform our wedding? And I tell them, my batting average ain't very good. Because it seemed like everybody that I have performed their wedding, we've got a high divorce rate. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. But what I do tell them is this. I encourage them in their ceremony that it is theirs, but I also encourage them, and I've seen everything under the sun. I've seen two people get out there with bull ropes or ropes and rope a stick cow to say that they're of one accord. I've seen people take sand and pour it in one vase. I've seen people take one tree and plant it in one vase. I've seen people do a vine over a deal. I've seen all kinds of, but I really like that unity candle. Because it's get one man, one woman, coming together as husband and wife, lighting that one candle in unity so that they are no longer individuals, but they are of what? They are of one flesh. Okay? And if they are of one flesh, it is up to the husband to love the wife. Why do we love our wives? Because Christ loved the church. And what did He do for the church? Paul says that He gave Himself up for the church. Every wedding that I do, I quote this passage of Scripture. One of the last weddings I did. Most all the time, those men are tough, boy. They're tough. They're up there joking with their groomsmen. They're playing around. And then that beautiful bride will come out the back door or come out the back pasture or whatever they're getting married at. And they come out. And boy, that old boy that's stout as all get out, that lip will start quivering. And then that tear will come down that face. It's beautiful. I love seeing that. I love watching their expressions when they see that bride coming down that aisle. And as that happens, we get to the part of the ceremony. And one of the last couples that I said, Paul, I said, you're to love your wife. I said, you know how much you're to love your wife? The Bible says to love your wife just as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? And he very softly said, he died for her. Amen. Amen. That's how much we're to love our wives, that we die for them. If somebody come in here with a machine gun, raving lunatic, I'm going to step in front for my wife. Somebody tries to hurt my wife, oh, hell has seen no fury. Anybody tries to discourage or do anything bad to my... You men in here know, we would give our lives for our wives. Why? Because that's what we're commanded to do. That's what we've been ingrained in to do. And Paul takes it a step further. We're to do this love. Why? Because that's how much Christ loved the church. That he gave his life on the cross of Calvary for sinners like me. And so I want you to think about this today. Husbands, can I just get real with you guys for a second? I need to get better at loving. Can I get an amen this morning? Okay, thank you, Preston. There's a lot of people in here that say, oh, I do this, do this, do this. But in our daily actions, sometimes it's not visible. Sometimes it's not visible. I want to challenge us on that this morning, men. We're called to be the leaders of the house. And I want to encourage you in that this morning. God's definition of marriage, church, is between one man, one woman, under the covenant of husband and wife in God. That's the definition. There's four perversions that I want to bring out today that are destroying marriages, and they're the very work of Satan. And as I bring these out to you today, again, I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to preach the Word of God. And as we preach the Word of God, if it convicts you this morning, I pray that you get it right with Him. The first perversion of marriage that we want to speak on today is divorce. Divorce is rampant in our country today. Divorce is rampant in our churches today. Did you know the statistics show that our divorce rate in the local New Testament church is no better than the divorce rate in the world? That's a problem, guys. So what's happened? We've got people that's dropped the ball like me in pulpits talking about the strengthening of marriage. We have men and women in this church that's been married for a number of years. And you know what? When you got into a fight, you fought it out. When you got into a fight, you worked it out. When you got into an argument, you made it happen so that you and that woman or that husband stayed together. We've gotten away from that generation. Today, if somebody chews their food wrong, they go file for divorce. If somebody goes and does something that's just absolutely, they go out and buy a new truck, they go file for divorce. We have no-fault divorce running rampant in our country today. Hey, can I tell you something that God says in the book of Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, and this is not preached at near enough. God hates divorce. He hates it. He hates divorce. So I'm just going to tell you, I've had couples come to me, and they said, hey, we're going to get a divorce. We don't even mention that word. Divorce is not on the table. We try to go through the biblical process of restoration for that marriage. Divorce is not an option. When I was visiting with a couple and they were talking about all their illicit affairs and all the things that were going on in their life and all the things that they'd done wrong to each other, the wife genuinely said, hey, I want to make our marriage work. I want to do this. I want to be married to to you because I love you and I want this to work for our kids. And let me tell you guys, divorce has done a number on our kids. It's done a number on our kids. Our kids are struggling in the schoolhouse today because of absentee fathers. You wouldn't believe when I was principal at Alba Golden for 12 years how many times I had to deal with custody issues because this parent got them for this week and this parent got them from this week and this parent got them all the way up to 3 p.m. Friday afternoon. And then this person, their custody took place on 3:01 p.m. on Friday afternoon. And where did they come and dissolve or basically try to resolve their court issues? They came to the public school system. And who hurt the most? Those poor little old kids. It just break your heart. Just break your heart. Guys, husbands, wives, God hates divorce. And God wants to see husbands and wives stay together because of the love and submission that they have for one another under God's ordination. But also in this fact today is because of the semblance of family, of harmony, the way that it is intended by God's law is that these precious little kids have one daddy and one mama. And they are called husband and wife. God blesses that, guys. God hates divorce. Malachi 2:16. What therefore God has joined together in Mark 10, let no man put asunder. My prayer today is that if you're even thinking about divorce, please come see us. Please come let us know because we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to be there for you to help you through these trying times. It's tough. Marriage is a blessing, but can we say that it's tough too? Amen. And as you go through that, there's going to be tough times. But can I tell you something today? Tough times make tough people. And we need, in 2022, we need a lot more tough people. And so when we look at this today, divorce. Another perversion of marriage that is rampant is sexual promiscuity. Sexual promiscuity can look in a number of ways. We have a pornography epidemic that sucks in men, women, boys, and girls at an all-time rate. We have social media apps today. I was told by two people in law enforcement, whatever you do, don't ever get Snapchat on your phone. They said it shouldn't be called Snapchat, it should be called Divorce Chat because the thing can go away unless it's screenshotted. And so you have so many people that are into their phones and into their illicit affairs, maybe not physically, but maybe emotionally. And that's something that can be very real. We also look at sexual promiscuity today that it goes all the way to the physical encounter of where we have people in open marriages today say, it doesn't matter who you have sex with, it feels good, just do it. And that motto is sending a ton of people straight to hell. And so this sexual promiscuity today, we have people living together say, oh, there's no problem in that. We have people that are going out with each other and going out here and going out there. I seen a girl that I went to school with at a place, and I just couldn't believe it. I come home and told Jacqueline, I said, that has to be husband number seven. This sexual promiscuity like you wouldn't believe. It's just rampant. And people says that there's nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you something, folks. God is faithful, God is righteous, and God is judge. And He will be executioner and jury as well. So let me tell you guys, if you're involved in sexual promiscuity today, my prayer is that the Lord turns your heart and turns you back to the love for your wife or the love of your husband so that He gets the glory for that today. Revelation 21:8 makes it very clear about sexually immoral. He says, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, listen to this, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who are involved in sexual promiscuity will see the lake of fire, of hell and fire and brimstone. It's very clear in Revelation 21. Sexual promiscuity is destroying marriages today. In our churches, we need to stop being a statistic, and we need to turn the tide. You can overcome affairs. You can overcome sexual addictions. You can overcome those things, and your marriage does not have to live in the past. Your marriage can live in the future, not because of who you are, but who Christ Jesus is in you. Give Him glory this morning for that. The third thing is this. We have now taken a word that used to be unspoken of, and we have glamorized it. You can't even watch TV now without homosexuals dominating the TV programs. You can't watch commercials now while you're watching a football game without seeing a man put a ring on another man's finger for a jewelry commercial. Over and over again, we see this homosexual, transgender diversion that is being pushed down our throats by the devil. It is being shoved down our throats to indoctrinate us. And by the way, did you know that studies came out that have been proven by our federal government that they are using mass psychosis when it comes to the level of fear on COVID-19? Be aware of what you watch. Be aware of what you listen to. I like what Brother Schaefer told me this morning. He said, I don't have cable anymore. I don't have TV anymore. I have Roku. I can watch what I want to watch. Amen. Some of the stuff we watch poisons our minds. It dictates to what we're going to do or how we're going to act. So what has happened in our society today? Those shows that we loved have introduced homosexual characters. And oh, we laughed. Oh, that's funny. And then we see our news stations indoctrinate. Hey, this is not wrong. This is okay. And then we have people like Ellen DeGeneres and all these others that come on our TV screen and they do all these good works. And people sit there and applaud and say, oh, this is great. When in factuality, all we've done is glamorize sin. And so let's talk about homosexual activity here for just a second. People say that God does not condemn homosexuals. All throughout His Word, He condemns homosexuals. Genesis chapter 19, there was a town called Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, I did my history project in college over Mineola, Texas. In the 1870s, Mineola's name was Sodom. There was more bar rooms than there was in the community of Mineola than there were churches. Sodom is not a word that you would say is something good, because we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Archaeologists can't even find it today. Genesis 19, Leviticus. We go to Leviticus chapter 18 and chapter 20. We see that homosexuality is condemned. Romans chapter 1, homosexuality is condemned. 1 Timothy, homosexuality is condemned. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, homosexuality is condemned. If you have your Bibles, just real quick, for you ones here today that may say, well, Michael, I just don't see a thing wrong with two people in love want to get married. Well, time out. Your definition of love is wrong, and your definition of marriage is wrong. Can I prove that to you real quick? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Paul tells the church of Corinth that there is a price to pay for a lifestyle of homosexuality. Homosexual union is not a marriage. We'll get to the next one in just a second. But the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes in disguised. He comes in unexpected. And he comes in feeding us lies. And in that process, we get to where we're at today. Let's look at this. Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do you hear that, church? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, listen to this, church, will inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? That's not Michael speaking, that's the Word of God speaking. But praise God, there's an out. There may be some of you here today that are fornicators. You're doing things outside of marriage that you shouldn't be doing sexually. There may be some of you sitting here today that are adulterers. You're cheating on your husband or your wife. There may be some of you in here today, you may be homosexual. The word means effeminate. There may be some of you in here today practicing homosexuality in the act of sodomy, a sodomite. There may be some of you in here today that are revilers. Revilers in the Greek simply means that they took place in sexual orgies. So in this, that might have been some of you. But can I give you hope here today? Listen to what Paul says. He says in verse 11, "Such were some of you." But praise God, check this out. "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Isn't that great news this morning? Hey, if you're sitting here today and you have sexual sin, guess what? You can be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're sitting here today and you're wrestling with homosexual thoughts, or you're wrestling with a sodomite lifestyle, and you're wrestling with these things today, and you say, "I just can't escape this," let me tell you who can break the chains. His name is Jesus Christ. It's what He does, guys. He delivers. You that are sinners here today, you know what I'm talking about. Can I get an amen? You've been delivered. And when you've been delivered, you understand what this means. Homosexuality has crippled our nation. Homosexuality cannot produce a society nor another generation. Homosexuality is only selfish for the sexual desires of themselves. Last but not least, I know a lot of you get upset with me when I talk about government mandates. And I know different people have different views. And aren't you thankful for that? We can all disagree with each other, but we can do it agreeably. I'm thankful for that. But I'm going to tell you where I think our nation really messed up when it comes to God's blessings upon us. June 26, 2015, I was off that Friday and I was outside mowing. I'd come in and Jacqueline was working and we turned the TV on probably the most liberal news network that there is, ABC. And we began to watch President Obama make a landmark speech at a podium. And on that Friday afternoon in 2015, President Obama glorified the godless Supreme Court for legalizing same-sex marriage. And when he came on the TV, he said, "This is landmark for all people. All people are going to be treated civilly. All people are going to be treated as one and in unity." And boy, he was just giving this speech about how it was the best thing since sliced bread that the Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriage. Well, when the redefining of marriage by the Supreme Court in 2015 happened, can I tell you something today, guys? And this may hurt your feelings, but I'm just going to tell it like it is. There's no such thing as homosexual marriage. There's no such thing as getting married to your dog. There's no such thing as putting your little silly Oculus visual reality thing on and getting married to your anime character that's not even real to begin with. There's no such thing. God's standard for marriage is one man, one woman, under the covenant of husband and wife. That's His definition. And so as you and I stand here today, my prayer is the Lord convicts our hearts. My prayer is today is that we are encouraged. And my prayer is here today that we'll stand up for the right thing. Too many times we stood for the wrong things, hadn't we? So many times we've glorified what? We've glorified divorce. Oh, grass is greener over there on the other side. We've glorified sexual promiscuity. Oh, just cheat and cheat and cheat and cheat and cheat. We have glamorized homosexuality. And we have glamorized our government officials and made them like they're Hollywood, sports, whatever, music superstars when they are fallen human beings in need of Jesus Christ. So I want to close with this. The key word in education today, and this is why I'm a dinosaur, it's why I need to retire, is toleration. Toleration. She wants to be called by this name in your classroom. Okay. Well, that's really not a he. That's a she, so we need to start treating her as a she. Jacqueline can tell you, man, I fought these battles for years. And it gets old. Old, old, old. And you look at these poor kids. I feel sorry for them. Because mama and daddy sometimes ain't even present. Mama and daddy's giving them this warped sense of whatever. Some of these kids call themselves gay and they don't even know what gay means. I had kids come into my office and they'd give me the new buzzword every week. I asked one girl, she said, well, I'm not a girl today. I said, well, what are you? She said, well, I'm an asexual today. I said, what? She said, I'm not a boy or a girl, I'm an it. And boy, I couldn't keep up. Because listen, hey, church, can we get back to common sense? Amen. God made man and God made woman. Can we get back to common sense? And so here we are. So, church, if you feel like I've lost my mind and you need to send me to sensitivity training, you're wasting your money. Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why? Because you're not going to indoctrinate me, because I've been indoctrinated by the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to stand, it already has, the test of time. The Word of God endureth forever. Man's doctrines, man's theology, man's humanistic approach that they put on me and you to believe, it doesn't. So I want to close with this, guys. I love you. The Bible says that there's a right and there's a wrong. Listen to me. A judge does not tolerate perjury in his courtroom. A doctor does not tolerate smoking when oxygen is in use in a hospital room. A teacher does not tolerate disrespect in her classroom. Why should the church, why should you and me as Christians tolerate the perversion of marriage? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is true. And I thank you today that you have sealed us with your word. Your word has shown us that this covenant of marriage between one man and one woman, under your covenant of husband and wife, is what you have ordained. And I pray that our people here understand that. Lord, I pray that our people that's watching online today understand that. Lord, for whatever is seeping into our minds, Lord, we're thankful today that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're thankful that your word does not change. Lord, convict our hearts on this. I pray for our married couples today in church. Lord, I pray for the wives on submission. I pray for us husbands on learning how to love. Lord, I pray that if you've joined us together in one flesh, that you keep divorce away. Lord, from New Hope Baptist Church, keep sexual promiscuity away. Lord, homosexuality, don't let it enter into our minds, into our hearts. Lord, let us not glamorize it, but Lord, let us love the person, but to understand and to share that love with them, that there is a wrath of God that is coming on them if they do not repent and change their ways. Lord, today we pray for our government. But Lord, I'm thankful that my citizenship's not here. I'm thankful that my citizenship is in heaven. Lord, I pray today that you encourage us in our stand for marriage, the biblical definition of marriage, of one man, one woman, is husband and wife. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We love you, Lord. We praise you today, in Jesus' name.